Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, I want to talk about something I'm adding as one of the fundamental threats, the fundamental obstacles to the truest of freedom. Forget truest freedom. That's too minimal. To freedom on the planet and in the United States, in addition to the list of threats to prosperity equally distributed. And with that, I will name the other three or four. So first of all, I'm going to up front say that the first two are A, this administration, and then B, I don't care what you think. Go ahead and tune out. I'm going to explain the situation. There's the Israeli lobby and just the influence it has. It is just as blue-pilled so many of us. I'm going to explain. It is truly a fundamental threat, not because Israel doesn't have a right to exist, not because Israel shouldn't be able to have its own opinions, but as soon as it starts to say that we're supposed to drop our way of life, that we're supposed to drop our fundamental principles of freedom called the Bill of Rights, and then our office holders carry the water for that outlook, that's when it becomes a fundamental problem. And it is now for multiple reasons. So first of all, this administration is in project management, there's something called a risk and then an issue. A risk is something that might occur that could have damaging effects. This is not a risk. This is not a threat. This is an issue. It's now existing. It's not that the Biden administration, as it is played out, potentially is damaging to America. It has damaged, basically irreparably, and continues to damage. It is an existing issue, which that's not a strong enough word in project management terms. It is an existing damaging entity. It has ripped apart American principles over and over again. It has said, Constitution, f*** you, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. And I dare you m***ers to stop me. And when you're courts give too much deference to me, which is the way. Guess what? I just got away with some shit that no other president ever has. It's a puppeted behind the scene presidency that is absolutely destroying the nation on purpose. And I go on a walk with Kim from Kimology 411, and people have Biden stuff up. And can I mention very briefly this manufactured support from the right people who probably, as other people have said, probably been Epstein Islanded from Hollywood. Can we just talk for a minute? Wait a second. So you are being paid $30 million a year? Oh, for goodness sakes. Guy with the black hair was on the man show. Late night guy. You've been paid what, $30 million a year? So you can afford Biden's America? Good for you, face. Good for you. A Jack Black comes out and is supporting Biden. Who the f*** are you? Where the rest of us have seen reality. And reality is 75 to 100% inflation in 3.5 years. And wages have not followed that. The rest of us have seen the reality of a president saying, I know you've had a year to decide whether you want to put this in your arm. Put it in your f***ing arm anyway or lose your career. The rest of us have seen that. The rest of us have lost family members who were coerced to take a deadly vaccine that, you go listen to my episode, October 22nd of 2020, a Zoom call, national. They don't say it out loud, but the screenshots, the screen shows pericarditis, myocarditis, death, stroke. The evidence shows that nobody was dying. of any young age unless they had massive other health issues. And then we have youngsters falling over, whether that's true youngsters or, you know, relative youngsters, young adults falling over with strokes, LeBron James' son, the Chiefs player, any number of people falling over either on the court or later, having massive heart problems with what is a predictable mechanism, which I talk about in my episodes. This f***er did that. And you can say, well, he's just not even all there. Well, tonight happens, I think tonight's the debate. If he was there during the debate, that's a problem. That's a problem. We'll go to some of the other risks of our society, and one of them will be the NSA and the secrecy complex. Because if he was all there during the debate, guys, that doesn't make sense. You're being blue-pilled. If he was actually all there during the debate and spunky and at it, that ain't him. Now, I don't know how it is him if it looks like him. What super f***ing pill did they give him? But it ain't him. Let's be honest. I don't know if he was. I don't believe in debates. They're garbage. But sometimes I'll go check back into them. So, first, Israel lobby. Israel lobby, I should say second, we did talk about. That's as much as we need to discuss Biden. If you don't know, his purpose for being in office is to destroy America and to replace anything that seems like someone who would have some memory. They didn't go down the memory hole of what American principles are supposed to be. Then you're not paying attention. Over the specter of a destroyed America under Trump, you've ignored the fact that America has been destroyed in 3.5 years. 4 years now, because it really started in March of 2020 when they wanted to say, we got to create some chaos. And they did, and then they stole the election. And if you don't think they stole the election, just go listen to my episode on 2,000 Mules. They stole the election. Very simply, even looking at four battleground cities in battleground states, that the very conservatively figured votes via absentee ballot, the fraudulent votes, very conservatively figured on average what those mules would have delivered were enough to swing the state that was a pivotal state in four out of the five urban areas that they looked at, that would have swung the state just with the mules they found in those few places, the pivotal places, which would have swung the election. Just go look at the math of it, people. The logic was all made sense. It went back to phone data. The same type of phone data we'll get to, Google and the spy complex, turned into Google spyware as a business model that then got sold to you as Google ads, so you could go do all of your demographic research using anonymized phone data. This mother has killed America, and we've allowed it. But yeah, sure, let's say that we're still here because we're not actually dead yet. What's the next fundamental threat that I've added to my list? Well, I hinted at it. I said it straight away, but let's go into it. It is when the Israeli lobby is so powerful that people who otherwise supposedly perfectly well believe in the importance of the fundamental rights that are in the Bill of Rights and the rest of the constitutional amendments regarding those. I don't even know what we're at, 28, 29. When those folks who believe in that are absolutely ready to instead enforce the narratives of a police state. Israel's a police state. Now, you can say there's a reason for it. This is not saying Israel should not exist. This is not saying you shouldn't have the right to say, I believe we should support Israel. You absolutely should. But, and Tucker Carlson said this recently too, but it's what I've been thinking, and I can't remember how much I said it in my episodes. As soon as you cross the path to say, nope, you motherfuckers are using free speech, and you're using free speech to question our war, so that means you're anti-Semitic. Okay, as soon as an American of any influence, and that includes you, if you're blue-pilled on this, which is so ironic, because it's the conservatives who are most blue-pilled on this, as soon as it crosses to you, you shouldn't be able to say anything against the Israeli war with any nuance. You're anti-Israel. No. You're not even anti-Israel. You're anti-Semitic. Wait a second. What if I'm just against what's happening now? Does that make me against all Jews? Yes, it does. No, it f***ing doesn't. In America, that's called free speech. Okay? It's literally the first f***ing amendment. But in America now, and this is what I'm getting to, we have, and we'll expand on it too, but we have such influence by the Israeli lobby, however it occurs, and maybe we'll discuss some of that. We have such influence that people who know perfectly f***ing well about the Bill of Rights, people who literally will be about, no, you can't shut down speech on campuses. The young skulls of mush, as Limbaugh would have said. You know, they may be wrong sometimes, but it's not fair that these skulls of mush are so, what is it, safe places? You know, that they don't allow a conservative to speak. That's not fair, and that's un-American. And who are they to... I don't care what student group said another student group shouldn't have the right to bring a speaker on campus. They should have the right. You don't get to shut down free speech, especially on American campuses. They're already so communistic. Well, unless it's about Israel. And then the blue pill works. And the red staters and the red states' representatives are all about freedom of speech being absolutely and utterly shut down. As Tucker Carlson said, it's fine, have your opinion on Israel, but as soon as you take away my birthright as an American, that vigorous free speech is utterly important in a free society. Israel may be a prosperous society for reasons we'll mention that will overlay with other aspects of the things that are on the list of why, the list of fundamental reasons that take away a society's prosperity. They'll overlay with that. They're a prosperous society for some reasons, but they do have definitely a police state mentality. And some of that is if anybody freaking says they're against what Israel is trying to do now, especially as a war, then we label them anti-Semites. And for any of our office holders to carry that water instead of going back to their allegiance to the most important American fundamental principles, it's a problem. And we have it left, right, and center. Well, no pun intended there. We have it right. We have it right. We have who should be people understanding that free speech is important. And any other context says free speech is important. As soon as it's the Israeli lobby and they shout anti-Semitism, they're just echo chambers for it. It makes no sense. So let's go on from there. That's a fundamental problem. Because we have the people who would otherwise be upholding fundamental American principles of free speech absolutely instead being the bullhorns for no free speech. But what's worse is then it goes towards the funding. What's happened recently? This should be the other evidence of proof for you. Why in holy f***, in a Democrat war state presidency, warmonger presidency, Ukraine and Israel, but otherwise it's a Democrat president, why would we have a bill come up? Who the f*** comes up with these bills? That's another whole thing, right? Where let's just have people automatically registered for Selective Service. That seems like a small administrative thing, right, in some way. But it's a total change. As long as we have had a draft, a potential draft, it's always been you must register for the Selective Service, but you do it. So there's A, that's going on. And then B, for the first time ever, and I don't think it's either of these passed through the Senate, but I'm unsure. Women available for the draft. A, why is that happening? And we're going to go towards what it says about society very quickly. A, why is it happening? Well, it overlays with the Israeli lobby. They are a police state, and they have an overwhelming influence on our office holders. I believe basically every serious presidential candidate takes his happy ass or her happy ass over to Israel to kowtow and kneel down. That's foreign influence. What could be more clear than that? Can you imagine if all of our American presidential candidates had to head over to Moscow? Why is that accepted? So now we have a Ukrainian war and an Israeli war that we are fighting by proxy with our funds and our weapons. And here and there, where did the scandal go that we had troops on the ground? Did that get buried? Speaking of another fundamental prong of injustice and of a society going towards non-prosperity, the secrecy complex in the NSA and the CIA, which are going to be my other prongs. How the f*** did we bury the fact that at some point it seemed to be that we didn't just have advisors on the ground, but actual troops? Do we? Where did that story go? We are now trying, Israel is trying to get us to be their supplemental force. Are we going to fall for it? Becomes the question. That is the reason for this drafting, these changes in the draft. Ukraine, which is just a war to try to get rid of the only real opposition to the freaks on the planet. That's what that Ukraine war is for. To weaken the only... We've always said, hey, the duality, the opposition has made us safe with the Soviet Union and everything. We would say, and we've got to provide that. But now we're trying to get rid of that, which means the freaks at the World Economic Forum, this freak Schwab who is building an immortality cult. Did you see the immortality cult? Oh, no. If you work at the World Economic Forum, you'll be able to work for 50 years. And even then, we'll take your consciousness and your memory and we'll clog it. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's not true. AI is at the simplest AI version. Go look it up. Go look on IBM. It's called Weak AI. And we're not even there yet. Schwab is full of and he's a cult leader. And he... Anybody who's with them does not have any allegiance to the country that they're running as leaders for. They have allegiance to Schwab and those principles. So Schwab wants Russia gone. The freaks on the World Economic Forum and the United Nations types, I don't know how much United Nations is really guilty of this, but certainly CFR types, World Economic Forum types, don't want opposition to their plan. Russia, say what you want about Putin, is opposition to their plan. That's what you're getting drafted for. That is, as well as the Israeli lobby wanting your sons and daughters to fight for them, the chosen people. So let's review here, or restate and emphasize. Israel, they're the chosen people, according to them. That's just what it is, folks. They heard the argument for Christ. They heard that all can have salvation. They reject that argument outright. Instead, they lean back on the older argument that they are the chosen people, that Christ is not the Savior, that there is no Trinity. Do you understand the irony of hard red staters being totally blue-pilled on this? It would be one thing if we weren't massively in debt and that everything we do keeps us from having benefits or dollars in our pocket in the future because of our debt spending. At this point, our interest payments are hundreds of billions of dollars a year. That used to be our budget. Imagine that. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year go towards zero services. And then we wonder why we have to be the bullies on the planet, hoping to scare the shit out of people to keep the petrodollar going. So the Israeli lobby, among others, is a fundamental prong. Its disproportionate power in the United States. And so now let's review some of the other fundamental prongs. One is the banking system, which does overlap, but of course there's plenty of Anglo-Saxon and people of all backgrounds that are all about money is debt. Go listen to my Money is Debt. And I think I may have done Michael Rivero's Every War is a Banker's War, but I don't remember if that made it into an episode or not. But look for that in case it's there. Guys, you cannot have a prosperous society over a period of time. It cannot not get more prosperous, and it must get less prosperous. It must look more and more like countries where, yes, you can always find pockets of wealth in a country. You can go find that neighborhood. But how well off is the average citizen? You cannot get towards the average citizen is more well off and has a larger piece of the pie over a period of time if you have money as debt. It cannot occur. It can't. So the banking system, you can say it's the Federal Reserve. You can say it's the banking system. But the point is, when your money system says, hey, I'm a banker, I get to say I have a bunch of wealth that I responsibly saved, I invested, I put it here, I put it there, and I have it on reserve to give to you. But there's a risk here. There's a risk here. After all, you're going to have my money for 30 years. So I'm going to give you $150,000 now, but you're going to have to pay that off. And it only makes sense that if you have my money for 30 years, that you should have to pay not only the $150,000, but by the time you pay it off, it's going to be $225,000 or $250,000 or $300,000, depending on if you refinance. And if you are ever even behind on it, then I can potentially take your house. If that can be the way it appears, but it's really not that at all. It's really deceit. It's really a fraudulent contract that if with this system, they didn't have to have the $100,000, $150,000. They had to have some small fraction of it, and they got to lie to you and said, well, if you sign on the dotted line, then we can give you the $150,000 and you'll have to pay it back over a period of time. And when you sign on the dotted line, 80 to 95% of the money comes into existence because you signed it on the dotted line. Guys, that's organized crime. That's fraud. They get to claim money. They didn't have it. They didn't earn it with their blood, sweat, and tears. They had of the 150, let's say, but in reality, fractional reserve is very, very low. So this is probably, it's just the easiest way to explain it because it's conservative. Of the 150 that they loaned, they had 15 on hand. They actually only had 15 rather, or 20, or 25 maybe. The rest of it, you created. And then you obligated yourself, after giving the power to create it out of thin air, to have to pay it off over 20 to 30 years or 15 to 30 years. And if you fall behind, you also had the collateral of the house itself. Guys, guess what? If I have the power to take a printer, if I have the power to take a printer and then claim what I print off, if I have counterfeiting power, except that nobody calls it counterfeit money, if I get to go through no more blood, sweat, and tears than how long it takes to print off that money and then claim it as my own and then enslave you with the obligation to pay it off as though I went through effort and I went through time and I went through energy to come up with that money, and now it's a risk of mine for you to take it and to pay it off. The only thing that can happen over a period of time is that the people who get to print off the money get a larger amount of wealth in the system. It's all over a period of time. That's the only thing that can happen. It cannot go in the reverse direction. Those people without the privilege to merely come up with wealth, to simply print it or type it into existence, they can never catch up with those who can. Over a period of time, the only thing that can happen across the whole trend of the population is those people who have that organized crime right have a larger percentage of the wealth. Now, some percentage of those people who take on that obligation will carry out the obligation and through other means get more prosperous. They'll do things right. Some of those people will become, you know, through other means, through other types of capital investments, they'll become more prosperous. But across the broad population, there will be people who signed what is in essence a fraudulent contract, because what you're supposed to have approximately equal bargains. You didn't have approximately equal bargain. They had 15,000 on hand. For 15,000 on hand, you signed and gave them the right to 135,000. You gave them 135,000 when all they had was 15,000 and the right to create something into existence. Why is that not your right? So for 15,000, you gave them 135,000. And then you gave them the right for you to pay back 150 plus interest. So first you gave them 135,000, then you gave them the right to the full 150,000, and then you gave them the right to interest. They had 15,000 to begin with, and you gave them the right to get your real property back should you ever just be late. That's a fraudulent contract. That's not a bargain. A bargain is things approximately equal on both sides. You can literally void a contract for the same type of things, but in our system, we don't. So when you hear about banksters, that's the issue. Now, does it happen to override with Israel? Absolutely. But there's usury. There's banksters of all races, colors, and creeds. However, if you want disproportionate influence, then overwhelmingly put your chips there. Because if you have the power of banking, you have unlimited power over a period of time. Unless you really, really, it's always amazing to me how any bank can go bankrupt, but they can. That slightest bit of fractional reserves, they won't even do that. Or from moment to moment, their accounting doesn't work. Go listen to some of my episodes on banking. Did you know that they had overnight loans? Like the tiny amount of fractional reserve that they have to keep on hand. They'll even do, well, we have a little extra. And so, someone won't be able to make the tiny amount of fractional reserves. So they'll borrow from a bank for overnight. That's why we can't have bank runs. That's why they want to go towards digital currency, because then it's even harder to understand where money exists and how much of it exists. And all of it feeds an inflation monster, because go read Money is Debt. This is why this is the second prong, because there is no stable cost with money as debt. And the temptation is only ever greater when you don't have to have the money on hand and you get to create money from nothing. If you get to create money from nothing, you have a lot of power and a lot of incentive to make a lot of that giant profit and put it towards propaganda, towards the reason that we need to be further in debt, the reason why that bill needs to pass, the reason why that omnibus bill, despite it bringing us $2 trillion in debt, should pass. Because you're the one making the money off of it. This feeds the debt mentality that takes away through inflation the value of your earnings, the value of your savings. The fact of the matter is, if you didn't get a 40 to 70% raise since 2020, you are now poorer. That's the truth of the matter. That's inflation. It's because of the money as debt. And go listen to that. Paul, Grignon. You can find it. It's a real basic and fundamental video of the early YouTube era that makes a great point. I also did an episode on it. Banksterism, money as debt, is a fundamental prong that keeps us from being a prosperous country and also honestly keeps us as being more and more a deceptive country. Inflation is truly 100% or very close to it, certainly in the last 6 years, but most of that's in the last 4 years. Real inflation is that much. You understand, like, my nephew was only born in 1999. Okay, think about 1999. And what was a good, even just 19, we're talking 25 years is all. What was a good income? $40,000 was pretty nice. $40,000 is squat now. The banksterism leads to the debt, leads to the inflation. You can never get to stable prices with this system because there's never enough money in the system to pay off the primary and the interest. You literally can't stop the inflation. But worse, it just feeds a parasitic class that wants to propagandize us about this system. So that's the second prong, and it does go over to usury. As I said, if you're the chosen people, what's off the table? Pardon me. What's off the table? Nothing's off the table. You're the chosen people. The non-chosen people are not the chosen people. However you have to propagandize and gain control through usury and the like, you know, Jesus threw out the money changers. Early Christianity said that's not ethical, that's not moral. And again, going back to what I said about the Israel lobby, literally, that's a fundamental Christian tenet. But we get to forget, don't we? Because our red staters are blue-pilled on this particular topic. It's a massive Jesus Christ story. Go in there and throw out the money changers. And again, there are money changers of all races, creeds, and types now. But a disproportionate amount is of that particular class, the Israeli lobbying class. That's how you get disproportionate power. You go to the thing where you get to counterfeit and create money from nothing. And guess what? You're very rich if you can do that. And if you can then use the money that you create from nothing to propagandize that is somehow okay. Guys, you know how much you could afford brick and marble building if you got to create something from nothing? And then you got to also use that money from nothing to hold the narrative to say that's not organized crime? Or you had so much money, you know, you can create the illusion of prosperity and legitimacy with your brick and mortar building. And you can create the narrative and or anything that goes towards, hey, well, you know, I know what you mean by banksters. You mean Jewish people, don't you? No, I don't. I mean banksters, some of which are Jewish. Any banksterism is horrific for our prosperity. It can't not be. They want debt spending, but regardless if you have debt spending or not, As a municipal or government, you know, red line versus black line discussion, you are creating money from nothing, which means the people who get to create money from nothing become more prosperous over time than everybody else. You cannot end up with a bunch of low income people over a period of time. It has to be reset. And some other factors have to go into play, major factors, for you to have a very wealthy middle class. And maybe it's because everybody's in banking, if you're the bankster to the world. So that's second prong. A third prong of absolute fundamental problems that absolutely keep a country from being prosperous. And these two are going to kind of overlap. Secrecy complex in two different ways. NSA, CIA. But the secrecy complex in two different ways. Both just the operationality of secrecy and coups and intelligence gathering and surveillance. And then separate, just the technology that's being hidden. So first let's talk about the former. And you can go listen to my episode on, I believe it was Truman. He said, yeah, so a month after Kennedy is shot, and we all know some of the ideas on maybe why he was shot, break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Also, of course, the Bay of Pigs thing, which he was sabotaged on by the CIA. So no irony there. A month after JFK is shot, the timing almost implies what Truman thought, but he doesn't say it. Truman said, listen, I started the CIA to be intelligence gatherers that I could trust. I needed to have intelligence gatherers for me, so I felt like I was informed and that I wasn't just hearing other people's, you know, where they wanted the spin to be. I don't want to hear the spin. I want the facts of the matter so that I can properly engage with the situations at hand. That's why the CIA started, you know, and I swear another one since then ended up, but I'm probably wrong about this as far as which one it was. That's the same idea. It's like I don't want all of their interests and all of their skullduggery where I'm wondering whether or not they're spinning what I'm hearing. I want the truth of it. I thought that was Defense Intelligence Agency started with that as well. But CIA was before that. Truman said, I needed to know that I'm not getting the FBI garbage from F and Hoover. I can't remember if Hoover was around for Truman, but he was certainly around for Kennedy. I don't want to know whether... if, in essence, what at the time would have been that version of the deep state. I don't want to think that I'm being spun by the FBI and others, the deep state of the time. So I'm creating the CIA. He said, I did not mean for it to be operationalized. What's that implying a month after Kennedy gets assassinated? Well, you know, almost immediately, you know, you can go look up the history of the Bush family, right? A CIA was doing corporate interests. You know, they were doing the work of the corporate interest in Central America and South America and the like. He said, I didn't mean for it to be operationalized. I didn't mean, I meant for it to be intelligence gathering, not mission-based, not day-to-day operations, ears on the ground, feet on the ground to know what's going on. So I have intelligence. Not that I didn't want them to be actors on the world stage. I didn't want coups to happen. I didn't want Central and South America to be behind the scenes. Somebody politicized and decided outside of what the American people want, outside of what the Congress is saying out loud. I didn't want coups to happen because, oh, behind the scenes, that's how we, you know, make sure we have a bulwark against communism. I didn't want it to be operationalized, and it's a problem. Well, guys, it's only ended up being more of a problem. Now, instead of the CIA, the NSA, you know, these people are operational. They're working coups. Remember the Steele dossier? I've had an episode on this. The Department of Justice said, well, what's going on with this? We knew early this was bullshit. And here's how we knew it was bullshit. The Steele dossier was paid for, organized by no less than a presidential candidate. And then Steele is working off of hearsay. But worse, the narrative that he puts out from his dossier doesn't even match his primary subsource. And we know that because the primary subsource says so. But yet, when the FBI puts this out and gets the FISA warrant, I think Carter Page FISA warrant, that started to give some legitimacy as though there was anything to this, they knew of the weaknesses. The primary subsource had told them, and yet they kept that out and they gave a different point of view for the purposes of the FISA warrant. In essence, they deceived a court. The FISA warrant stuff. They deceived the court. I think it was the Inspector General, but I don't remember. I think it was Department of Justice, but again, not totally sure. But you can go find that episode. So how the fuck were they doing that? How is it that, and who influenced them to say, I don't give a shit. We want this guy to look bad. That's politicization of the FBI. Massively. And no less than another law enforcement arm concluded that. So this is what you get when you have an operational department that is doing anything except trying to solve crimes. As soon as they start to get spooky, and, you know, I believe in the FBI wholeheartedly when they're trying to solve crimes. I mean, some of my favorite shows are about, you know, people on that level trying to get to really bad guys when those really bad guys need to be put behind bars. Love it. But that's not this. This is why it's the other prong of what is fundamentally, horrifically wrong. When you have an operational agency that is doing that type of dirty tricks, we're talking Watergate times 1,000, times 1,000,000. I mean, how does that not dwarf Watergate? Watergate was just going into, you know, into the Democratic committee or whatever, right? And then, of course, he had the tapes too, the audio tapes, right, that made him look bad. But in essence, just going and doing individually dirty tricks with the other side for purposes of campaign. This is literally trying to down a sitting president using the mechanisms of a federal agency that was law enforcement, but using it in a politicized way when they should have said, oh, this is bull. And by the way, Hillary Clinton's the one who, I can't remember, has reached out, but certainly kept the association and kept it going with this Steele person who put together a hearsay document that was not accurate. So if he put together a hearsay document that was not accurate, who was behind the way he characterized stuff? Who's the one that was behind how he characterized things inaccurately to make it look worse than it was? This is a problem with this type of agency being operational. It is why it is against the prosperity of a free country, and against truly a free country, because it's against the freedom of ideas, kind of like the Israel thing. They don't want freedom of ideas. They want your exchange of ideas to be obstructed. They don't want a free exchange of ideas. Oh, no, you don't get to talk about our atrocities, if there are any, because we're the chosen people, and now you're anti-Semitic. Do you understand the problem with anybody? Now, I'm not saying absolutely am I not saying that every Jewish person is anti-free speech. But as to the lobby and the people placed in certain places to bullhorn this and put pressure, and then from there, you know, certain American politicians, mostly on the right, bullhorn them and echo the same sentiment, those people are anti-free speech, clearly and obviously. They'll take down a sitting American president of a prestigious university just because they said, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, my students are going to protest because they're supposed to protest. What could be more American than a student protest? Well, nothing could be American about a student protest for a conservative as long as it's an anti-Israel protest or just throws nuance. So that's the overlay of the CIA and the FBI being operational, is because they become an obstruction to the true exchange of ideas. So then from there, we're going to go to, it's also the secrecy complex. So yeah, so once things are secret and it's not your business as an American citizen to know, that Snowden who goes, did you know we built this giant creature in the dark and it's so big now that no one's going to get rid of it because contractors are paid hundreds of millions and palms have been greased. But because I had to say that, I have to stay over in Russia for the rest of my damn life. So there's a couple things wrong with the secrecy complex. A, it starts rationalizing what we just talked about, and it starts hiding what we just talked about. The dirty deeds, and who gets to run those dirty deeds? It is so then available for political corruption. And then secondly, the secrecy complex that then becomes a part of Soviet Union-ing the United States, that becomes its own creature after 9/11 and then further. After 2000, it's gone on steroids. Where it becomes a mechanism to surveil the American people, something literally we're not supposed to do, but we do anyway. Go find the Chemology episode on A Good Citizen about the guy who found a very elegant way to bridge the troublesome issue of we need to be careful with terrorism, but we also cannot just mass surveil American citizens. He found an elegant way. It was rejected because it was too easy and too inexpensive, going back to the contractor situation. The guy totally looks like Michael Shannon, by the way, too. An incredible guy. Incredible brain. Was the first person who kind of understood that intelligence could be metadata, not directly hearing everything everybody says, but it can even be understanding metadata, the trends in the metadata, who was sending, who they were talking to, and the like, as opposed to a straight code breaking. So go listen to that. But yes, one thing is the secrecy complex of, well, what if a political party just starts to go, F*** it, we don't care about this, the sacred aspect of we can't politicize this. We're taking it. We're going to use it. we're going to use, no, no, you're not supposed to use the federal mechanisms for anything. Well, we f***ing are. We're going to. We're going to go after our political enemies and so on and so forth. But the secrecy complex then, you know, ends up being like where the handshaking of, you know, with other companies, big tech and the like, because even big tech can be intimidated. And they just know, say, in the era of COVID, are you going to cooperate? Are you going to be a patriotic? Are you going to help us here? Or it could be from the earlier threats, basically, like the implied threats, or you must do this. All of your tech, your smartphones, they better have a back door. They better have cameras on both sides so we can use them. Make sure you put cameras on. And see, the secrecy is like, where do some of these ideas come from? Where did the ideas come from that we would put cameras up everywhere? Did that really bubble up from American citizens? No. But it became a thing, and it became something that was paid for by tax dollars at the federal level, indebted tax dollars. And then the local municipalities took it because they could get grants to put them in. Local municipalities in America will do anything if they get grants for it. All of a sudden, their critical eye disappears. So the secrecy complex is where these ideas of surveillance even come from. And then somehow these ideas of surveillance influence bills because nobody knows who writes the damn bills. And then nobody reads them. But the secrecy complex then feeds this cooperation with big tech. And we find out from Edward Snowden that this creature has been built behind the scenes and there's no killing it. And instead, for telling us about it, he is depersoned as American citizen because it wasn't our right to know to begin with. And how dare he? But now that he said it, yeah, I mean, it's legitimate, right? We're not going to get rid of it. Well, if it was legitimate, then why would he have to be depersoned to tell us about it? Well, because it was a state secret at the time. Well, so is it a state secret or isn't it? All of this surveillance that you do. This surveillance can only be then politicized. And that's what we see. We have seen it with working hand in hand with big tech. We talked about this. This is the prong that you cannot have a prosperous society once you have a surveillance society. It's only going to eventually be turned political. Only! Yeah, the excuse is anybody going to get violent? But does it stay that way? No, and it hasn't. 2020 showed us. We will deperson you if you say the wrong thing. We will turn big tech secrecy into algorithmic censoring. Because then there's no inspector. There's no inspector that you can say, who f***ed up my seam on my t-shirt? Inspector 12? Okay. Hey, Hanes. Hanes T-shirt Company. Inspector 12 f***ed up my... Okay, we're going to get on inspect. There are no inspectors. It's the algorithm. Whose idea was that? So Google gets maybe scared behind the scenes and then incentivized. They'll get some kind of a contract. And now they're working with the government. So, you know, that's better than... Once you have a tyrannical government that shows... Oh, we'll f*** some people up. Then guess what? Companies comply. Okay, companies are going to comply because they want less trouble. If the NSA comes knocking at your door, yeah, your band of lawyers are real nice versus state government or versus another corporate entity or versus another entity. Your parade of lawyers has some power, but when the effing NSA comes knocking at your door, guess what? You toe the line. This is why the idea of secrecy is antithetic. I don't think that's right either. It is absolutely opposing a free society. You can't have it and it work. It has to be incredibly limited, like literally agents' names and where they are. Agents' roles, names, and where they are. And any agents must only be doing intelligence gathering, not coups and propaganda information. Because once they're operationalized that they get to lie as a mission, then where does that go? And how much power is that? that people are going to be attracted to. That people who are dirty scumbags want to go, geesh, they get to lie operationally? I need to be in that game. So the other part of the NSA spy complex that is the last prong, if you will, of the underlying issue, that where a country cannot be prosperous as these things are in play unless they get pruned back. And they're not going to want to be pruned back. And so it's going to take a very affirmative, dramatic thing to prune them back. That's why you should never start and begin with. Is the secrecy complex effect on technology? But you can't have a prosperous society that takes information and slowly continues to develop in the best way, in the most efficient way of what free markets and human ingenuity can get to if you have a secrecy complex. And the more so you have it, the worse it gets. If everything is subject to being a national state secret, then you're f***ed. If everything is in the national security interest, you're f***ed. If it is what troop movements are and what missions are, and you limit to that, yes. But really, it just goes down to you really shouldn't have a standing army. Because this secrecy, I mean, just listen to Dwight D. Eisenhower. I put up his episode 2 and talked about it, his speech on the way out. He talks about it, man, it's true. When you have a secrecy complex, then all you're doing is motivating a scope creep in exactly what is, quote, due to national security interests. And you get 100% redacted stuff after a court has ordered them to show the documents. And that is not considered insane. No, when we said you had to show the documents, it means so we can actually read them. Nope. Here's your 99.9% redacted documents, and you're going to take it, and you're going to like it. Because the rest of this is in the interest of national security. As soon as you start there, it becomes a slippery slope that over periods of years and decades can only get worse, can only end up being the rationale for back-engineered energy sources or just developments due to patents, that patents being hidden, to patents that it in the free market should and could be the basis for incredible efficient energy advancements. Going back to the resonant energy I was talking about with Tesla and the like. These are hidden behind the scenes. You go read enough books about it, look at enough patents, and understand that much of these fundamentals, including the resonant energy type idea, but not necessarily about exactly what I was saying in the last episode, the preview episode. Many of these fundamentals were in patents in the 1800s and the early 1900s. And yet somehow we don't use them. I picked up a DVD called Free Energy, The Race to Zero Point, which was 90s. By the way, at that time, they're like, oh, we'll be out of fuel at this rate if we don't decrease it by 2025. Okay, buddy. Okay, that's a memory hole right there. There's always cataclysm. Rather, there's cataclysmic thinking. And there is that, but that doesn't take away from the idea that we should be pursuing these other energies. And as we have the secrecy complex that does the bidding of corporate interests, then they manipulate what's properly secret. Just like in the early operationalization of the CIA and doing the interest of oil and even what was the fruit company, even the fruit company's interest down in South and Central America. They're doing the interest of American corporate interests, and that becomes the rationale. So now you have the rationale being really you're serving the corporate interests of the oil companies that are the ones that want to do, quote, a green energy in the slowest way, the stupidly inefficient solar power, the stupidly inefficient wind power. And then they want to get, if they hold all these other energies back because it's in the interest of national security, because they hide them for purposes of defense, but their real reasoning is also we can slow motion, you know, we can slowly advance and exhaust all these other ones slowly once at a time instead of skipping right past these ridiculously inefficient, quote, green energies like solar and like wind. When if these things were out in the open instead of, quote, hidden, because after all, if we throw it towards maybe the military can use them, then in reality, we just get to slow mow them, and maybe the military does use them. But the point is, they're not out there for the civilians to use. So you take away the technology, you buy the guy's interest in it, you tell him to shut up for $1 million, or, you know, worst case, you get rid of him if it's something incredibly important. All these secrecy aspects go towards truly the advancement of the human race in the most efficient way that brings the least amount of misery. Like, literally how the Earth could support more people without this depopulation agenda. It all gets hidden. That's the power and the damage of the secrecy complex. All of these energy sources, and I'm going to take a quick aside, looking into, for instance, this free energy, the race to zero point. I love the idea that you can't have over unity. That means you can't have more than you put into it. Well, that's assuming closed system and you know where the output's coming from. That's the funny thing about it. Like, closed-minded scientists are like, well, but that can't be because it's more energy than you put in, and you can't put in more energy, can't get out more energy than you put in. There are different forms of energy, dumb shit. So if somehow the whole idea is that you're potentially tapping into something that is unknown and should be studied, but you don't have to know it all to know that the energy, such as resonance, is greater than what you put in. Resonance, we know why. You're vibrating at the if you're using the input frequency, and you're using a certain amount of power at the input frequency, and the resonance can run away. So you engage it and then you disengage it so it doesn't run away and break your systems. But in the meantime, you're getting more energy output than you put in. That's over unity. There we kind of know the field. We know the mechanism. It's just resonance, which is a very fundamental situation. There's even resonance, electrical resonance that Tesla was aware of, and there's physical resonance, as I was saying in the earlier deal. Can't you just tie a generator to that? Generator is just a wire moving relative to a magnetic field. So if you have over unity physical movement due to using physical resonance, then your generator will generate over unity electricity. Insane. So with over unity, it's not over unity. It's them not knowing the source. And so they put the cart before the horse when they say, well, that can't be because it's over unity. Oh, so you're not believing what's in front of you? Well, show it to be fraudulent. Explain it. Because if you can't, you don't get to just say it must not be true. That's not scientific. But these are the types of things that the secrecy complex hides. We could have had, we know there's electrogravitics. There clearly are electrogravitics. We even know it's in the, is it the B2? The one that's shaped like the wing. I always forget if that's B1B. I think even in the B1B, which is a super big one that kind of has swept back wings, but it doesn't look like the stealth bomber. So B2 and B1B, or I have those two designations wrong. One is a really big bomber anyway, but it's a more conventional look. The other one is the one that looks like the stealth wing. And one or the other, they admit to electrogravitics. So think about, because these are true. Different experiments have found them, but we haven't developed them because they get hidden in the secrecy complex. How much further they could be along, then think about what true green, I hate the term green, the term green, because it becomes with all the political machinery that really just is about control. All it is about control. And we must stop everything dead in its track while not providing, it's a purpose for the depopulation agenda and everything else. When if you would just pull the secrets out, then we could develop perfectly well as a very efficient, non-polluting planet that could support its citizens instead of using all this 17th, 18th century technology still. So much of what we use is really 18th century technology, and certainly no more than 19th century. It's insane. If we had electrogravitics, and it exists, and there's been too many sightings otherwise, and not all those are alien, go find the paranormal caught on camera where two different people on the same night at different parts in Washington catch a floating pyramid at night. It's dark over the Pentagon. Okay, now, would an alien aircraft be allowed there? Or is that our stuff? And it's like, whatever, they'll never actually say anything. There is so much hidden technology behind the secrecy complex. And that's why secrecy, this national security thing, is the last thing, well, the last thing I'll mention, that is a fundamental problem to a society continuing on the path towards more prosperity and towards more development and towards, easier allocation of resources, more resources being easily available. Because remember, when you have energy and gravitics solved, all of a sudden the friction situation, pulling something from one thing to another, it goes away. If it doesn't take jet fuel and coal, and I'm no eco-warrior because, again, I'm the opposite of those crazy political, because they always pick the wrong thing. But when we talk about truly miraculous, relatively miraculous energy, that I'm all for. All of a sudden, things are, anti-gravitics are being used, which means we are overcoming friction, and everything becomes more possible. Because if you're using these alternative energy sources that are, quote, greater than one, well, how many things are not done? How many great inventions are not developed just because of the energy it takes to manufacture them? The energy it takes to get the resources involved. Well, if all that energy is now 1/110th, 1/100th, what it was, so many things where the cost index or the costing in general is just out of reach in a cost-benefit analysis, they become plausible, the perfect example being desalinization of ocean water. Well, it's a lot of energy to do it. Well, what if energy becomes that much easier to implement towards that end? Then the cost-benefit ratio entirely changes. Good ideas become much more plausible in hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of situations because now energy is so much more affordable. All right, guys, I know I went long on that. But have yourself a full Scales of Truth episode. Catch me over on Chemology 411 as well. And hope you have a great one. July 4th coming up here soon enough. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.